So even if you are in the most subdued time of the show, you still have three-dimensional stars coming at you. You get so used to it, you don't realize it anymore. You don't realize you're looking at something that if you were on, you know, that classic, if I was on acid, this would look crazy. Yeah. Like so many people have said before. The whole show is that. The whole show is that.
Welcome back to another edition of the What Podcast. I'm Barry. That's Russ. That's Brian Stone. We are we're wrapping up. We're getting closer to wrapping up our sort of recap of Bonnaroo 2024. We did, you know, several interviews with bands on site, Say She She, Michigander, Gwar, and today we're going to bring you the interview that we did with Happy Landing. But the big news, and we'll get to it here in a little bit, our man Brian, world traveler, jet setter, you know.
The 2024 Brian Summer of Fun is in leg two, just wrapped up, man.
I was thinking about this earlier. This is like a whole new Brian. This was Brian typically is the guy who holds up in his house and, you know, we don't see him for a while. But,
or just goes to the show, has my fun, and then just goes home and
finds something
it
to complain about. Yeah, find something.
Damn it,
to
I couldn't
about.
Hear the, I couldn't hear the guitar very yeah. well, damn it.
Guy in front of me had the biggest afro ever or something, you know, whatever. But all of a sudden now he's, you know, he's going to Bonnaroo. He's going later to New York for Madison Square Garden to see one of his other favorite bands. But this past weekend, he went out to Las Vegas.
To the Sphere
and saw the Dead. And we're going to hear about that ad nauseum here in a little bit. And,
We will. And,
we're going to hear about Russ's other camping trip. You had a little music mini festival. Mm-hmm. Non-Bonnaroo related, right? I'm sure there was probably one or two people.
Yeah, nothing
there
to do with Bonnaroo.
Nothing to do, but I wanted to real quickly, coincidentally, we've sort of not talked about it here in a while, but, you know, we started a contest before Bonnaroo asking people to tell us which bands to see, but then we also said share with us one of your favorite memories or pieces of memorabilia, and then we would come up with a prize packet. We didn't have a date, we didn't have a prize pack, anything like that, something from my basement. Basically something I want to get rid of to clear out space. But coincidentally, my buddy that I work with his wife, showed up at the office Friday. And guess what he found?
Well, I know, so I won't spoil it.
At a yard sale.
Oh, wow.
So
really is one of the cooler promotional.
Well, why don't you describe it for the people that aren't watching? I mean, you know,
Bonnaroo thing.
You're not watching. 2014 Bonnaroo delivered your tickets, basically your wristband, in a lunchbox, and it's really cool. Rufus is all over it. You know, all the iconic sort of things that
has
art.
Been 10 years now, hasn't it? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And the funny thing is, I have two of these already, but I didn't want to get rid of them.
No, I wouldn't now get rid of mine.
Now I have a third that I didn't have to buy, so I'm going to give it away. And whatever I can stuff in here, there's already, and here's the other. This is how selfish I am. I have a couple of bandanas still in the cellophane.
Wow.
And since I have duplicates, I'm willing to part with them.
Well, what I had it on a note to do the other week or so, and I might do it again later on down the road, but the amount, and maybe I already mentioned it, but the amount of stuff people collect at Bonnaroo is getting so absurd now, it kind of makes it look like our collection's not as good as we thought it was.
Yeah.
The collectibles are just such a part of it, so, and I love it, because I love knickknacks, I'll take anything you'll give me. So, but yeah, I guess we're looking at getting somebody a winner within the next week, by next show.
Yeah, so let me see if I can get it right. 423-667-7877?
Yeah, but I mean, we just got to pick a winner. We've already run the contest.
Well, I wouldn't mind having, you know, what do you mean? The people can't call in with more of these? I mean, I'm all about it. I want to hear all these memories. So.
Well, you better hurry either way because we're picking a winner real soon.
We're picking a winner real soon.
We're going to have much time, yeah.
Somebody's going to get that swell lunchbox and whatever else I can fit in there, so... All right, wanted to do that. And we have still, like I said, we have our Gore interview, which was a relatively short one, but we have a special episode planned that we're probably going to spend more time than we should.
End up dedicating, based on the way I've been putting together my head, a majority of a show to Gwar. I think it's worth it. I think we'll have some special guests that were involved with the show, at least from a coverage standpoint. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun. The interview is like 3 minutes.
Yep.
And that, I thought, you know, at first, like, damn, that's it? Of course, I didn't know what I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to get any more. But that's all anybody got, because everybody was like, it's not like, so where do you go next on the tour, guys?
Exactly.
Your mom's house.
Yeah, we go to your mom's bedroom.
That's exactly right. It was exactly what was needed. But there's some other stuff that happened around it that we're going to talk about. And then, of course, we have what I think is sort of the put the final wrap on it was our interview that we did on the real bus, the Roo bus, with a bunch of people that you should recognize their names if you listen to any of these podcasts. So
yeah, so we'll bleed into August for the recap stuff. So anything we hadn't got to yet, we're still working on that.
And then we're lining up some stuff I'm pretty excited about. We want to talk to some of the C3 people, festival people, and get their take on what went well, what went wrong. They would never say that. What do they call them? Challenges?
Challenges. You mean the big F up, right? Yes, the challenge. I meant the challenge.
Things we can improve on. That's always fun, and I'm really looking forward to that. So, all right, and then we'll start thinking about planning for next year before we know it.
We'll have to start looking at mock. It's like sports media. It's mock draft season. It's mock. Not yet, though. Not a chance yet. But you know, here into the fall, once fall starts creeping in, we'll have to start looking at mock lineups and then doing our evaluations there. But yeah, nowhere near yet. Not yet.
Well, bands start putting out their, you know, upcoming 2025 tours, and that's when everybody tries to read the tea leaves and look. Oh, there's a gap in June, and they're not announced anything. Maybe they're playing Bonnaroo. It's a lot of that
It's fun, and and people have gotten pretty sophisticated. I mean, we know from doing this show enough that they're not going to be out. You know, they're not going to do Bonnaroo if they don't have product. So you can look at who's got product coming out or who put product out this
year. Album cycle is
a
big deal.
It's gotten pretty sophisticated, and some folks have gotten pretty close. So anyway, we'll look forward to all that. So, all right, Russ, why don't you go first? This is another camping trip. Russ
Shocking,
with the bus.
Russ went camping, everybody.
He waits till it warms up outside a little bit.
Big show today. Russ goes camping.
Sorry. Yeah. This was another one of those like undisclosed location, you know, kind of it's who you know to get in. So this one was on Lookout Mountain, so pretty much right in here in our backyard in Georgia.
It's like speakeasy camping. You got to have the password.
Yeah, this isn't something you just, you know, show up at. You got to know, and you got to know when and where and who is the big thing. But this is a bluff right on the side of Lookout Mountain, and it's a big, flat, narrow piece of land that, you know, we all kind of line up and camp on. And this is actually an airstrip. They had planes taking off and landing while we were there. And, you know, of course, you got to, you know, clear the area, planes coming in. So, you know, we all had to kind of make sure nobody's, you know, get the dogs up, make sure nobody's in the flight path. And, you know, then sure enough, you know, a little plane comes in. And these are like, you know, light sport aircraft. So these are, you know,
I was going to say, I'm picturing Wayne's World having a real, real deep conversation on the back of the Pinto or whatever they drive. And then, hold on, here it goes, whoa! So
you were thinking that, and I was picturing some dog chasing an airplane's tire as they as they want to do.
Well, they're about big enough for that. I mean, it could freak a dog out if you know a giant plane comes in. But these were just, you know, sport aircraft that people come in and land, and so we did that. They had a few bands to play. There was a 80s cover band, which I thought was pretty fun. You know, just, you know, silly little stuff like that. Our buddy Butch Ross, I don't know if you know him. He's played Butch. A lot in Chattanooga. Yeah, he played. He plays up there.
The Dulcimer is the what Mountain he is Dulcimer. Most known yeah. for.
I love mm-hmm. Butch. He's great. Yeah.
Yeah, Butch is awesome. So yeah, we had a bunch of food. You know, we had a bunch of beer. It was just a really fun, pleasant camping weekend. So that's.
Well, I guess part of what I'm hearing is that I'm not on that list, and doesn't sound like you were either, Brian, even though you're out of town. So
that's a Russ special right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you got to yeah.
have to get,
I don't know
might
if I can
get
you
the
in.
Knock knock high sign next year.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it's called they call it the Nerfy, NRFE, No Room for Error is the name of the landing strip, cuz it really is, if you don't get in there just right, you know, you're not going to make it, because it's a very narrow path. There's nothing but trees and everything around. It's pretty wild.
Nice. All right. All right. Anything else?
That's it for me. I mean, nothing compared to what Brian did. Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to cut you off.
Yeah, thank you.
Because I think we know once Brian gets going on this, he's very excited about this trip that he made out to the Sphere. Yeah. So, all right. First of all, I got to ask, and then I'm going to let you talk.
Yeah, ask all you guys. Any questions you got?
128 degrees?
No, I think it didn't get above 120.
Oh, all right. Well, good for you then.
Not above 120.
Really, so much of Vegas connects. You don't really have to go outside much. It really wasn't much of a deal. I wasn't in it for long, but it was. It doesn't feel much different than 97 here with all the humidity. I mean, it really doesn't, but I didn't walk around in it for an hour. You know, if I did that, I guess I could get back to you. Yes, it was certainly in record temperatures, at least as far as consistency of where it was. I don't not necessarily a top out number, but I think like 5 or 6 days in a row, it was 115 plus. Which was reaching some kind of record thing. Wow. So even for the locals, it was awfully warm. But I am so giddy. I've barely been back. It's about 28 hours now. So I haven't had, I slept most of that. So I haven't had a ton of time to digest. And I've been boring every single person I run into about it. And I'm like, hold on. I just want to tell you a minute. And then I just, go. Hold on. I don't want to get too detailed. And then I go detail. So I'll try not to do that here either. And a little bit of a spoiler alert. If this is something you're wanting to do, there's one more chance to do it this year. And I think they'll do another one next year. I didn't want anybody telling me anything going into it. And many people told me that it's not going to matter. Don't worry about it. It really isn't going to matter. Didn't care what they had to say. I still didn't want to hear it. And I stayed away. They are right. I can't spoil this. I can give you an idea of how neat it is, but I cannot. It is not possible to be spoiled. And one of the I listened to a podcast on the way up. I wish I could accredit it here, but it was by a guy who did the show, that podcast show, the night after the first night of this 2.5 month run. So 2 months ago. So the first time anybody's ever seen this. And he's what stuck out the most to me was he said it feels like trying to tell somebody, I don't remember what year he used, but I'll just make up a year. Somebody in 1915 who only knows maybe still pictures. Maybe you know what a decent still picture looks like. And trying to explain to that person what a major motion picture with light, sound, music, and an auditorium to watch it in. You tell that person, they'd say, you live on Mars, dude. You know? I thought that was perfect when I was listening on the way up. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's like the perfect way to explain it. Because you couldn't explain to that guy or girl, woman, that technological advance. And you really can't do that here either.
Okay.
First of all, Vegas sucks. Vegas is a stupid.
There it is.
Vegas is a stupid city. That place sucks. And I don't gamble. And nowadays I don't party or drink. I could still have fun at a party, but none of it. I mean, just none of it is of any interest to me. I've seen crazier stuff going on every other block in New York City than I saw in Vegas. I mean, that just, it's like Disneyland for adults.
Well, yeah, it's a rabbit hole, but everything I've heard is they're sort of confused and conflicted between whether they want to be family oriented or not.
It does feel like there's a lot of kids. I mean, at least I was in this strip area, which is in the Mirage is over there, the Treasure Island. A lot of the ones I remember from the old movies, those are all coming down and they're going to be, you know, a major archaeological architectural wonders in themselves. I was at the Venetian, which is one of the nicest places, which is a place that never ends. And it's a big mall and it's really nice. And the casinos themselves, when I first saw it, it's the first time I've been in a casino. I thought it was an arcade. This looks like an arcade. This is where y'all spend all night long? Oh, you can smoke. Or there's places. Okay, great. You can have drinks. And you're playing video games.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like to me. I didn't put a single dollar in. I thought I'd be potentially talked into at least giving it a try. It's like, what, you put money in that hit button? Yeah. See y'all later. I'm out of here. So that didn't do anything for me.
So this... To set it up, because I've heard you talk about it before on Stone on Air, your own podcast, and we've talked about it.
Yeah, I probably should have given a little bit of backstory.
That's all right. I know you're excited. So this was a combination of the band that you wanted to see and the Sphere, right? And a friend of yours with an opportunity.
Yeah.
That's how it all fell into place, right?
Exactly. Like, I had no plans on doing this 2 months ago. And a friend of mine who really just, I mean, at our age, mid-40s, most of your friends can't just drop what they're doing and run off to Vegas for a long weekend. I could if I wanted to. And so I like the Dead a lot. I don't love them. They played Bonnaroo twice. I wasn't at either one of them. I regret those. I regret it. But I wasn't at either one of them. They played Sunday both times. Sorry to all the I Leave Sunday haters. But so I liked the Dead a lot, but it really had nothing to do with them. I needed to see the Sphere.
Okay.
And who else are you going to, you know, if there's another band that's designed for something like this, I can't possibly think of who it would be. And I didn't pay full retail. So that helped a lot too, and that's how it came together. And
well, you don't have to give away numbers, but what does that mean? I mean, is it prohibitive, or is it, you know, it's going to cost? Yeah, it's going to cost you, but it's not prohibitive? I mean, you got in, you got a ticket.
It's cost prohibitive.
Okay, your buddy did you a solid.
Yes.
He did me a
very big solid, very big solid. I think that it is absolutely cost prohibitive.
Okay.
To a majority of the demographic that would listen to this, which I am the demographic that would listen to this. Like, yes, well, it's very cost prohibitive.
Coming from Chattanooga, having a direct flight to Vegas, that's going to help, right?
Helped a lot.
That kind of helped your decision?
Helped a lot. Well, that was the catalyst. That was like, okay, it's in my head with my buddy. It's in my head. It's in my head. Whoa, now we can fly straight there, because for those who don't know, we just got direct. We don't have a very good airport. We actually have a great airport, but it just doesn't direct flight anywhere, many places anyway. And Vegas, we just got a direct flight. So that was a big part of it. But tickets and lodging, yes.
I mean, okay.
You've got to drop some money. And if, you know, if you just dropped what it would generally cost to go to Bonnaroo and do it right, a month later, run off to Vegas... These are worlds I don't live in.
Yeah.
My guess is most of the listeners don't live in that world either. So I am not lost on me that the luck of the situation here has been very nice. But when I was told about it, hey, we're going to do 3 nights. Guys, you know I've seen a ton of live music, just like all of us, you guys. And I've been a big jam band guy back in the day. I've grown out of it, but I love jam. Going to see 2 nights of something, done it countless times. I have never in my life seen the same band 3 nights in a row. Never. Never would consider it. Even at times when I love, like Panic plays 3 nights all the time. I've never done the 3-night run. And so when it was like, yeah, we're doing 3 nights, I was like, going to Vegas to see, and we got to fly back so fast, and we're going to go to three Dead shows? I mean, I said it to him straight up. I don't think I like that idea, but he said, well, then miracle the ticket, which is, you know, give it away or sell it and go gamble or do whatever you want to do. I don't care.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And by the time I got half, well, basically by the time the first show was over, I knew, but after the second one, I was like, there's no chance I'm not doing the third one, mainly because Vegas sucks.
Right.
There's nothing else to do as far as I'm concerned. But the it's overall it's a production, and it's of course obviously, but it's a story. It's a story arc, and the show starts the same way every night and ends the same way every night, and they use a lot of the same visuals with different songs and things like that. So it's not a brand new, like a Grateful Dead show is a different set every single night,
right?
But these visuals are not. They're very much recycled, but they're used in different orders. And so now the new thing is, of course, within the jam band community, guessing, what are they going to open with? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Mm-hmm. Now it's like, remember that thing we saw last night? I wondered, what do you think they'll use to that one this time? And that kind of, it brings a whole nother dynamic of not just are we looking for, you know, what are we going to hear tonight? What are we going to see? See, also, so if you just like the band, you know, five songs, you know, and you've just heard them before and you think those five songs are pretty cool, one night and get out of there. You've got everything you're going to need. You've seen what this amazing production looks like. But if you like them a lot, and you don't go to this, you're going to regret it the rest of your life. And Bobby Weir is 78 years old. And so there's only a little bit of these runs left, and yeah. It is indescribable how cool these transitions are. And just to give a quick view, we'll go ahead and run that right now, Russ. This is when I in the radio world, when someone would come in and say, "I'm putting you to work today," I'd be like, "God damn it! That means I got to pull all this stuff. I got to do all this stuff, Russ. I'm putting you to work today."
Let's go to the clip. I don't have enough to do. Yeah, let's go to a clip. Yeah.
So this is like a perfect transition of this is Tennessee Jed, where you can see this portal, and it would go to one of their classic venues they played over the last 40 years. And then that visual would kind of hang around with lots of little weird things flying around and stuff. And in this one, it goes to Winterland from San Francisco that closed down in the late 70s. There was Cornell, which is very popular in Cornell University, very popular in Grateful Dead lore. There's Hampton in Virginia, which is one of some of their legendary shows. And the Madison Square Garden's another one. And Red Rocks is another one. So you're not going to get the same venue that it shoots into, but you're going to get one of them. So that's where it's different, but not. That's one of them.
Okay.
The open of the show is just a stripped down rock show. They just play a rock show except for as you can see here, with Bobby Weir, it's the biggest. It takes up the entire sphere, so you can see it. It looks amazing just seeing him just sitting there playing just a simple guitar and playing a song. Each show opens that way with just a simple one song, and then I don't have a video for this. The whole world opens up. You know, the whole thing, the sphere starts to open, and it'll take too long to even try to explain that, but it's like a Google Earth kind of view in and out from the Earth to space to intergalactic stars to Milky Ways to made up alien land, and it all kind of has this theme throughout the show, and then towards the end of the show, it closes and it comes back from crazy space to intergalactic to Milky Way to just above the atmosphere to into the atmosphere, and then over the 3 days you start to think, hold on, see if we can figure out when, because it takes like an hour for that slow comeback. It's watching a movie. If you know the band, you know their history, and you appreciate it more than if you know it. It's a movie. It's just the weirdest damn movie you've ever seen.
Right.
And it's a movie that not everybody can understand. but it does have an open middle and close. And then the what's the final one here? Oh, here was one where this was One More Saturday Night, which on Saturday night, of course, you're going to get. But they played this one. It's a bunch of handbills, concert posters, and ticket stubs.
Yeah.
And it covers as far as the eye can see, which is a little couple of blurbs where you can see the band, you know, inside. And they played that to their most popular song. So the first night was Casey Jones. And then the next night was, I can't remember which one. And then that one was One More Saturday Night. So on that set, on those nights, we're like, I wonder where they're going to use all those handbills. Which song tonight? So that kind of anticipation you build inside yourself. Normally when I'm at a Dead show or any jam band show, even if I'm getting a little tired, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, speed this thing up a little bit, you know, it's 20 minutes on this thing. But in this case, you knew every time there was a transition, every time there was going to be something different to see, and the anticipation built. And you look up and it's 3.5 hours and it's like, whoa,
that was,
where did it go?
What was the set? What, 3.5? 4 hours?
By the time you got it started until it ended, it was 7:30 to 11:30.
Intermission break?
With a solid 30, 40 minute intermission. Start okay. A little late, come back a little, you know, so it's not solid, but it is 18 songs. And for the Dead, stretching all those damn things out so long, that's a lot of songs.
Yeah.
Seeing three nights. I'm just trying to put myself there. Was that, I mean, obviously it was fun. Do you have to see three? And what I mean by that is, I mean, you now have the comparative opportunity, you know.
Yeah.
One was different than two, and two was different than three. And
For a real Dead, somebody who would consider themselves a Deadhead, you should do three. Yeah. Because it kind of ties together enough, not really, but enough. If you one and two would be fine, and as I think I mentioned earlier, if you just barely know the band, one is 100%,
right?
Like all you need. One gives you a perfect understanding of what this band is and how these are six. Each one of these little. Just looking at it when it's turned off is wild.
Yeah, right.
Which I think I have a picture of that too. So I can't tell if it's video, if it's scaffolding. I can't tell. This is one of the whatever number they're on the Wonders of the World. I don't know what number we're on that. This is the next one. So 20th Wonder of the World, whatever. This is it. The technological advance of this place is clear to see by the naked eye. It is not clear to understand until you see it.
That leads me to the next sort of question is, especially with the three nights, I'm guessing the first night you're just, you know, head
lost
on a swivel.
Yes.
Trying to
yes.
figure out the technology. And then you're trying to figure out the music. And then you're trying to figure out how they merge the two. Is that, I mean, or is that happening all at once?
No, that's a fair assumption and mostly true, mostly correct. What I should have mentioned already, I should have mentioned from the jump because it matters. The first two nights we were in the 300 section, and there it's all one side, so it's, you know, 100, 200, same as you would expect. Sure. And it doesn't appear that it matters where you are if you're up in the seats. It doesn't appear so. The first two nights we were in the 300s, and then we traded, which was just a genius stroke by my buddy to do this. He last minute decided to do it. Traded for the floor. Hmm. The floor is once you've already done the other two, the floor now gives you. And I'm really speaking specifically to the Dead. I don't know what the Eagles are going to look like in there. You know, I don't know how this is going to go. It's going to be wonderful if you love the Eagles. You're going to have the best Eagles show you've ever seen, but. The floor gets you to where you can actually, oh, yeah, I'm actually here to see a rock band. And the Grateful Dead actually has a lot of songs I truly love.
Right,
and it is
right.
kind of cool to just watch them play music and not get lost in the.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So if we were in 300 or 400 or even maybe 100 the whole time, it would be even though you could still see the stage pretty good. it would be difficult to just focus on the music only. So on night three, we were able to really just see the band play some, which was cool. And if, but you still get stuck looking straight up in the sky. It's and it is so dizzying. I almost fell over hard multiple times just looking up. Not because I was messed up or anything, because right. It was that dizzying, but it was so irresistible. It's like staring at the sun. Don't stare. I can't help. I have to.
And, all right, straight up. What if you were tripping? Would it? I mean, how?
Don't do it. Don't do it is what I would say. Don't do it is what I would say. But, I mean, people who like that kind of thing know how to handle it well, and I'm sure it was pretty wild. But, I mean, you know, I jokingly but meant it seriously said in there at some point, I'm like, this is LSD.
Yeah.
What? This is LSD. Because, like, even at the times when things are calm, because every now and again a song sets in and nothing really happens. Like, it isn't a constant 3.5 hour mind bleep. You know, it does settle down sometimes into a song where you'll just have them on the major screen and there'll be little fluttering something, but not much. But there's almost always stars coming because remember, we're in a galaxy. The whole thing is we've left Earth.
Right.
And we're in a galaxy and we're coming back to Earth, through the galaxy. So even if you are in the most subdued time of the show, you still have three-dimensional stars coming at you. You get so used to it, you don't realize it anymore. You don't realize you're looking at something that if you were on, you know, that classic, if I was on acid, this would look crazy.
Yeah.
Like so many people have said before. The whole show is that. The whole show
so
is that.
So compare it to what? I mean, most recent Pretty Lights with the lasers and everything. I mean, that you just...
Pretty...
That's a good point. You made it... I guess in my mind, I'm thinking you're just constantly being bombarded with...
No.
Okay.
No. You're not, but you... But it could feel like you are. I guess it could feel like you are, but you're not. And I'm at a point in my life where I really pay closer attention to things that I didn't quite used to. We did discuss whoever we was. We were trying to think, what are the bands that would work here? Like for the purpose, the spirit of this place.
Right.
Tool was one that came to mind. Fish, obviously, they've already done it. I'm blanking on others right now, but Pretty Lights was one that I think I came up with that one. I was like, Pretty Lights would work perfect in here, and I'm glad you brought that up because I do want to tie this into Bonnaroo because I spent a little bit of time on this show and much on others that I just rave about the What stage. It's the greatest place to see a stage, greatest sound, greatest production. I've never seen anything better, and I will never believe that there's anything better. And then so every now and again, I'm like, what do you think about? Do you think Red Rocks might blow your mind enough? You think that might? And I'm like, there's no chance. No way Red Rocks stage. I'm not talking about the venue. The stage can do that. I believe that still holds because this isn't about a stage.
Okay.
This isn't about a stage. This is about a building. So I still think the What stage is the winner here. But as far as sound and visuals are concerned, this is the place that does it. It's got to be better than anywhere. It is loud, but not too loud. It's perfectly blended. It's perfect. Like from the floor, you feel the music. As much as you see it, not quite through just strict vibrations, but there is a little bit. It's designed vibrations. It's not somebody left the bass too heavy.
Right.
One Saturday at
your heart, your head, your chest isn't exploding.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
The witch stage guy sound didn't fall asleep on the bass and you're feeling it. This is designed. It's wild. And then you look around and you don't see any speakers. You don't see any cameras.
Right.
You don't see anything that shows how this production takes place. So I'm even looking at weird stuff. I mean, I'm doing a little bit more weirder than others. I'm like, how do they even have this camera angle? Where's the sound coming from? Where's the, you know, how do they get off the stage? I'm looking at all this stuff. Because you look at it and it's optical mind effery, even when it's turned off, like when it's just sitting there. And then it went, you know, it's on 24 hours a day from the outside. And we had the, I don't know if I mentioned earlier, our hotel view had the sphere. Like, it was beautiful. It was so cool. I'm up late anyway. I was up at night just staring at the sphere. What's next on the sphere? Oh, hey, there's a Steely again. All right. You know,
nice.
Did that till 3 o'clock in the morning one night because I wasn't going to go gambling. I'll just stare at the sphere and smoke. You know, so to each their own. If gamble's your thing, and the good, then you're gonna have fun doing both. But let's see. I mean, I think that pretty much touches on most of those parts.
To that point, does it change your thinking on? I mean, you just said the wet stage is still the best. But does it change how you might want to see shows going forward? I mean,
that's a good question.
They spend a lot of money on that thing. Not everyone can do it. Does it, you know, are you now like, oh, I can't stand in front of a flatbed truck and watch a band anymore? You know, where's my visuals?
That's a very fair question and a good question. And the answer is for me, not at all. Me, not at all, because I'm a rock and roll guy. And so, absolutely, it will not. But for the dead, it will. Yeah, yeah. Like, I won't go see. I mean, they're close to done. But I will never go see the dead again. And that was kind of the idea anyway.
Well, but this is where it has to happen. You and I think all three of us are in agreement on this. It's about the show and the heart and the passion. That's what grabs me.
Well, that's what's got me into the dead at early age was less the music and more the people, the passion, the dedication, everything that goes into it. I was so fascinated with from a late teen, early 20. Like, it didn't matter that I liked the music. I was, even if I did or not, I didn't like a lot of it. I still don't like Fish. I'd still go to a Fish show because it's just, yeah. Atmosphere, it's infectious. It's really, really, really infectious. Now this, I'm glad you brought that because it made me think of this real kind of fast. I don't want to go forever on this, but this was kind of like seeing the Grateful Dead in comparison to, like, if you were going to a huge football game or the Super Bowl. Right, like the huge football game the week before the AFC Championship game is the crazy Kansas City Chiefs fans in KC, and they're throwing down like they always do.
Right.
When you go to the Super Bowl, some of those people are there.
Yeah,
But that's not what you're getting.
Yeah.
This is like that. So some people aren't going to love that, but I think it's a perfectly good trade-off for what you're going to see. It is very buttoned up, a lot more corporate. You don't, hey, I'm going to wander over to 103 and see what Johnny's doing. Right. No, you're not, dude. Because your seat's right there.
Yeah.
You're not wandering around in the halls or in the areas because they do have great. I mean, it's like anything you'd see in Los Angeles. It's high end. The employees are incredible. My God, they're saints, actually. They're angels. They did such. It's such a high end place. They're going to leave you alone. They're not bothering you. But you're not going to noodle around in the aisle because you feel like it. No, you go sit and noodle in your seat all you want.
I got you.
So and then the floor is a different story for sure. Floor is always a different story. So it is a very corporate version, and we'll play this now. This is ridiculous. The Dead Forever experience had all kinds of interactive stuff. It is totally Disneyland Grateful Dead.
All right, yeah, that was my next. You brought Disney up. I didn't think about it. Did they have a shakedown street?
I couldn't let one official merch shirt get away from me. It's got all the good information on the
back.
Did
the true Dead fans get in? I mean, you're talking about how expensive it is. Were there true, or was this all, skinny pants types?
It was not a rowdy crowd. I think a lot of the traveling Dead fans did not go, but they've also been there for 2.5 months. Right, so I don't know what it looked like back in June.
Sure, okay.
But yes, they did have a shakedown, but it was inside at the Tuscany, if anybody knows. Because they couldn't have it outside. It was 115 degrees. Yeah. And we went to it, and it was fine. You know, it was fine. But it's not, that's also a vibe. That's an aura. That's a mystique That's a and throwing it in a convention center, you know.
Right.
It was cool to go to for a few minutes, but we weren't going twice. So that all that takes away. So there's going to be some hardcores, right? There's going to be some deadheads. I've been doing this since 73 in my green bus that I drove before I sold it to Taco. and they're going to be like, this is bull spit. I'm not, sell out John Mayer. Like, there's going to be those guys, those people, and they're not wrong. I wouldn't even argue with them. I'd just say, I get it, but I mean, I'm dead forever pin right here. I mean, it's dead forever everything. And it was a total Disneyland experience of an interactive museum. I actually thought that was going to be something I couldn't wait to see. But it was Disneyland.
All right.
So there was it had a lot of that. And I'll never need to go to Vegas again, thankfully. And I can't imagine why I'd ever want to go to the Sphere again, because I don't know who would do something that I would enjoy anywhere to that level. So if you're a Dead fan, go.
Let me ask you about the screen real quick. The screen is all encompassing. Like, everywhere you look, it's screen, right?
Essentially, yes. Essentially. The very top, not as much, but yes. Essentially, it goes all the way up, and then they can optically make it look like you're in a square instead of a oval.
Yeah.
They can optically look, they can make it look like whatever you want. And there's, because of that leaving Earth and coming back thing, it really is. I believe, I couldn't quite figure this out, but I think it's constantly slightly moving, almost like the rotation of planets. And so if you ever just really think, it always feels like you're kind of moving. Mm. When you're on the floor, the stage always looks like it's kind of doing this.
Yeah.
Just a little bit sometimes.
So is this like an IMAX screen on steroids? I mean, we've all been to an IMAX.
Yes.
And you get that kind of, it fills your whole vision, and it kind of dizzies you just because it feels like you're moving.
But it's an IMAX that is technologically advanced by crazy amounts. It would be the greatest planetarium you've ever seen. Surely Neil deGrasse Tyson will come in there and do some kind of space show in there. I mean, why not?
Cool. I'm really glad to hear you say, though, that at some point it became back about the band and the music, because that's something that I would have, that surprised me. You know, at some point it became a concert again. You weren't just being bombarded. So that's new.
There was
news to me.
Yeah, there was. We talked about that exact thing too. Because when you're on the floor and work your way close, that's a little different. But when you're up top, you can't really see the band. Not to a matter that is satisfying if you really wanted to see them. But they did have where they would just show them on the screen good enough, and then not much else going on, and that would just sometimes for a whole show. So you did get to actually just, you know, remember, I'm at a rock concert, right, and I don't have to be tripping my mind out every second.
I should know this. What's capacity?
See, I didn't double check on this. I thought it was 15, but I was told by many people that it was more like 20 or 22. If only there were a way to find that out.
I know. If only.
Find that out. Yeah.
I'm not going to look it up now because I don't have my phone.
I'm doing it. Because I don't want to get it. 18.6.
Okay. 18, I thought six, when someone told me 2022, I was like, nah, it's not 20.
15, 18, which is,
So, in between what we were both guessing. So 18, which is a healthy amount of people. So also when you think about a venue like that, it's not just what you can do. It's, can you fill a place like that up? That many people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As we've learned, the nut now is about 15,000. So.
Yeah. So when you, and no one's going to do that for one night, that's too expensive.
Yeah.
You have to do that for the multiplier for your business department of your band. the Eagles are about to do a run for about a month. That's got to be able to multiply to make it worth their while.
I heard, and I don't remember if it was Trey Anastasio himself or Matt Fish did it. They didn't want to do multiple. They didn't want to do months because they don't like to repeat shows ever. And so they only did like four or five or something.
They did four, I believe, one weekend.
Yeah. So it's a different, and the U2 did a bunch, and so
U2 did about a month or more. I thought that was, I'm not a big U2 guy, but that was a good place to start to give it a good test run. I know some people that went that just, they're U2 crazy and loved it. I don't know what that would look like.
Probably sure a lot cool. like that Bonnaroo show with all that screen that was behind them, if you remember.
So, I mean, it's it's just all I've been thinking about since I was while I was there, since I got back. Also, because it's definitely worth noting, did break away to go to the Hoover Dam.
Oh yeah,
and boy, that made my weekend too, because I wanted to do something. I felt like it was just like, I don't need to just go out to casinos and see dead shows and go to Vegas and be a degenerate. Like, I need to do something. And the Hoover Dam was a perfect idea. We drove out there, rented a car for the day, and then we also needed to make some rounds and get some stuff, so that worked out beautifully. Went down there in the morning. It was about 95, 100. It wasn't quite 115. We got there about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. Boy, that is a sight to see. I mean, that is incredible.
That's cool.
So that was fun to do on Friday, and then I was wanting to do something else on Saturday. I was trying to cram in a lot just because I had very little time, and by the time I woke up Saturday, jet lag and lack of sleep was catching up to me, and then we had the final night, and then we flew out at 6 a.m. the next day. So basically, I didn't sleep for a day and a half, and I just said, you know what? To hell with checking out anymore at Vegas. I'm sleeping all day. I stayed in bed till 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. So by that time, I was just ready to get to do the show and go home.
I did see you saw Evan Bonnaroo. What did he think?
Oh my God! I tried to throw a list together quick and I just forgot to put stuff on it. Yeah, I did see Evan. He found me. I thought there was. I was like, holy Jesus, man! How did you find me? I didn't even pin where I was or anything.
He probably just looked for the socks. You're not that hard to find, man.
I don't in this place though.
There's 18,000 Brian Stones in there.
Look for the guy in the striped knee socks. Yeah, you'll find
funny
him.
Though. I will tell you, the temperature inside the sphere, 60.
Oh, nice.
Wow. It's freezing cold.
Well, I guess they got all those computers they got to keep cool, right?
It's freezing cold. But, I saw Evan for about an hour. We were hanging around the dead experience thing. It was kind of a good meet spot, but he found me in the casino.
That's wild.
Hey, man.
That's funny.
And then we were going to meet up at the show, but you know how that goes. Oh, yeah. You know, it was too hard. Even talked to him about coming on the show, but he is traveling as we speak this moment. So he caught a couple.
I wonder if he's told his parents yet that he's going to have to change his last name.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Just going to happen.
I don't know. I do not know Evan's last name, and I don't care.
Nobody does.
I think it's Brown, actually, maybe, but it's Bonnaroo, man.
Evan Bonnaroo.
So that was, very cool. And I do, Evan, if you're listening, I am disappointed we weren't able to meet up on the floor, but. Man, we had such a great spot, and we were, I was trying to focus on watching a rock band for a little bit, and so I was like, I am not moving, because this is, I'd say 30 rows out, at a major rock concert, that's, for me, I ain't Brad Steiner, right?
I don't know what,
I don't have to be on the stage to be happy.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're having to do to take care of your friend, but he sure did you right. So
absolutely.
Well, yeah, he certainly did. Jeremy Klutz is his name, by the way. We'll throw him out a shout out at least. Yeah, Jeremy. I got good friends, man. I've done a lot of dumb things, and I've had to do some things to fix my life, and I won't go into those details now. But never one of them was having to. You better start running with better crowds, son. Like, no, I'm the problem. All my friends are good.
Yeah,
that's cool. Well, good for you. Anything else from either of you before speaking of Bonnaroo?
I guess we should get to our talk with Happy Landing, which I will say quickly before we get to it. I enjoyed those kids. I hope they don't mind me calling them kids. Their music is good, too. I like it. I'm not going to act like I've listened to a ton and I know much about them since. I'm not going to pretend to be that guy, but I listened to enough and they were fun.
This is, I've said it 100,000 times. This is one of my favorite things, having done the job I did for the Times Free Press for almost four decades. I love meeting bands on the way up, doing that first interview or the first few, and then seeing where it goes. And
I love that too. And it's that's never lost on me, and I've never grown out of that. Like, I don't care how small a band is, in a covering, I don't mean necessarily mean just an interview, but in a covering, being around, just kind of being a part of that ecosystem of how that goes, that's a fun place to be. Whether it ever pans out or not. I mean, my dumb fake but not fake story of Jason Isbell used to be my friend. Not really, but I've been around him drinking with a bunch of people 22 years ago, right? Like, nobody knew he was going to be the star he was at that time. And so, yeah, who knows where Happy Landing goes? Who knows where they've been since then, or since we'll find out a little bit more now.
Good point.
Everybody has to start somewhere, and you know, we've gotten to follow Repeat Repeat and War and Treaty, and I can go on and on.
St. Paul, my God.
St. Paul, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Gosh, that's one of my favorites. It's just everybody has to start somewhere, and as we've said, Bonnaroo typically does a great job of picking bands that are going to have a shelf life. They're good because they're good. The bands are good, and these guys are good. And
a lot of festivals book bands that aren't good sometimes. I mean, sometimes they got to fill out the festival.
Right.
Bonnaroo doesn't book bad bands, ever.
No. No,
you know, Coachella and some of these, you know, Lollapalooza, the major ones really don't. But Bonnaroo never has. It's like if you're booked at Bonnaroo, that means somewhere in some ecosystem of music, you are making waves.
You're making music that
there's a
like.
Reason.
That's right. Yep. It's not just because you're bringing eyeballs and you're a TikTok star or whatever. No,
it's because you're doing something that's got a potential to go somewhere else.
Right. That stood out, and I'm always surprised to hear when the acts say, no, didn't really know anything about Bonnaroo.
Or
they
funny,
did. Remember a couple of those guys were like, no, don't know much about it. And they're from Nashville, Knoxville, and Mississippi, right?
That's funny you remember that. That's 100%. They are very young. My neighbors had just moved in recently, super fast. They were in the yard when I pulled up, and I was in a hurry to get in here to get recorded. But they were watching the cat while I was gone. I was like, yeah, hey, man, thanks. I was like, you guys like the Dead that much? I don't know. Like 24. I think I know one of their songs, maybe, because they're so popular.
I think my dad listened to
them. I was like,
yeah.
You know what? Thanks for taking care of the cat. Yeah. See y'all later.
Yeah.
Love you to death, but I'm not going to go any further on this one.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because the other thing I remember, Brian, because it kind of, Russ, is when it was done, they were like, that was fun. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be fun, right?
Supposed
and then say she said the same thing. I'm like, are we that different? I mean, it's just, you know.
Yeah, we're not putting you on trial. We
shouldn't
be.
Well, exactly.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of doing interviews can be exhausting. Now, we're talking to a lot of bands that aren't, you know, their demand's not crazy high. Say she had a busy schedule that day. At least until they got
Michigan
to us, I think they were
mm-hmm.
done. Yeah, Michigan had a brutal schedule that day. So doing interviews can be tiring for sure. So I don't know.
Surprised me. He's like, that was fun. I was, yeah, well, you know.
I hope it's all fun.
With a sharp stick.
It's not fun, then we're not any good at this.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's my point, I guess. All right, so any other setup before we listen to these guys? And
let's let them roll.
Let's get
into
it.
Want to thank them again. It was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see where they go. Happy landing.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so hey, everybody, here we are. We're back at our all-time favorite place, right, Brian?
Man, just getting started, too. All the vibes in the air. The heat hasn't hit just enough to mess anybody's day up yet. We're all in good spirits, and, man, what a fun day.
Still have a little bit of energy left, yeah. So it's first. This is our first interview of the day. We're with Happy Landing. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you all.
For being here with us. Is this your first Rue to play?
Definitely first Rue to play. Yeah, a lot of us are newbies. It's our first time.
Never been in general.
Yep.
Well, let's do this real quick if we can. Let's go around, if you don't mind. Tell us first names, fine, who you guys are. And then I want to ask about that. Who all's been here? You can actually introduce yourself and then say whether you've been to Rue before, if you don't mind. Because that always is fascinating to me.
Totally, man. My name is Andrew. I actually have been here. I did one day last year. Saw Kendrick Lamar. It was very cool.
Wilson. I haven't been to Rue before, but I grew up in Franklin, so it's always been around, you know.
Jacob, my name is Jacob, and yes, first Rue of all time for me.
My name is Keegan, and this is my first time, but I grew up in Tennessee, so I feel like I've always been hearing about it, but never been.
Yeah. I'm Maddie, this is my first Rue as well.
We'll go back the other way then. What is your expectation? What? Because we were just at our own camp, and there's a young guy who's never been. He said, it's nothing like what I imagined. Yeah. I said, what did you imagine? And he couldn't even answer.
It's a great question. I think everybody kind of prepped us with what it was going to be like. Just crazy, spread out, hot, awesome, a lot of camping. So my expectation, I guess I try to keep my expectations, you know, even keeled for the show. You know, I don't want to think too hard about what that's going to be like. Just hope we have fun. And then camping, I just feel like it's going to be sweaty and just a good time.
So I hear a couple of you guys say Tennessee roots around here. The lure of this place didn't bring you already, or just things got in the way, or I mean, it's kind of a rite of passage in this state. Yeah. You know,
I didn't start going to shows or definitely not festivals until pretty kind of late into high school, it felt like. And Bonnaroo was just a commitment and
it is a
camping
commitment.
It was something I couldn't afford for most of high school, too. Well,
there's that, too.
And the coolest thing I think about being here is, like, it feels especially special to grow up around here and go to Bonnaroo for the first time as an artist, like, to have sort of, like, got our way here on the basis of our music. So, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead because I know you've never been here before because I noticed your shirt just now.
Yeah.
That's a heavy-duty February shirt, man. That is not a June in Manchester
I'm trying to Lawrence of Arabia my way out of sunburn for the moment. If I'd been smarter and prepped with some sunscreen earlier, I wouldn't be wearing the shirt. Yeah,
it's the price of being cool, Barry. It's the price of looking cool.
They make long...
danger, man.
He told me it was
comfort is fleeting, but looking sick is forever.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because we were laughing because behind us are the guys from Guar. So you guys could have chosen that route.
Yeah, I mean,
so
yeah.
It could always
we'll
be worse.
It'd be a lot worse.
Later. So
my loincloth at home.
He left his loincloth at home. So, all right. So let's talk about the show, and then we're going to talk about the band. The other question we always ask bands, especially all bands, I think, is one of our favorite questions is, do you approach Bonnaroo any differently than you do any other kind of show? And I know that's a trick question because it sounds like you're going to say, yeah, we phone in some of them, but this one we really, and I get that part of the question.
I don't think we ever phone it in. I would say we get it everything 100% of the time. And I think the stakes of Bonnaroo are high, much higher. So I don't know. It adds to the excitement and the energy, I think. At least.
Well, I'm glad you went there because I was just going to say, to kind of piggy off what Barry said, yeah, you're going to approach a show, you're going to do a show, you're going to do your best, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what everybody's, we would imagine, would say. But is there any extra pressure, you know, with something
totally.
That's got such
a
marquee
yeah.
kind of name?
Because there's definitely shows where, like, you know, we've played for the sound guy. And like,
oh yeah,
we still try our best to crush it.
We've done a podcast for like five people, you know.
But I mean, Bonnaroo, this is like our first mega festival that we've ever played. So it's like, And it's right in our, you know, backyard in Nashville. So it's like we – I'm speaking for myself also. I don't know.
Yeah, anybody else want to chime in?
I'm like, I'm like buzzing, but in a way that is just going to like come out on stage and just hammer it. Yeah.
It's kind of like when your dad is at your show, you know, you're like, you know, you're going to give it like we don't, we seriously always keep it at 100 at our shows. We never phone anything in. But when like my dad's in the audience, I'm like, I really got to make him proud.
You don't want to disappoint.
Our spiritual dads are here.
I'm going to dunk this basketball.
I'll show you, dad. I've never done that before. You told me this would never work.
It's like, you know, people are watching. And so that's, it's a cool feeling though, because
and people are watching and people care. Like, I mean, even if they don't know who you are, they're not. There's so much to do here, that they could be doing something else. And instead, they're watching your show for whatever reason. They might just found it. They might have woke up taking a nap there.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, that's and some of the best stories. Smallest bands ever turn into something bigger because of happenstance. You know.
You used the word. Go ahead. You were gonna.
Well, it's actually funny. I'm gonna. Pivot because that reminds me of a story we did, like, as far as people happening upon our show and like literally waking up. We did play a show at a festival one time in Florida, Okeechobee Festival.
Oh yeah.
And we played, it was a similar situation where it's kind of one of the newer stages, or like kind of the smaller stage where it's kind of newer bands that are kind of coming into the festival for the first time. And the specific thing about this place was like it was really well shaded. So this whole Florida campground is just like sun is just hitting you everywhere.
Sure.
But this one spot, it was kind of like an oasis. There was just trees and stuff. So people were sleeping at this stage.
It had
our wake, and it's worth saying it was the Sunday. Yeah, it was the last day. Everybody's strung out. It was like, and we come in, we're just like bright eyed and bushy tailed, man. We're like, this is awesome. You know, it's like 10 a.m. and we're just like, blah. And,
down.
Yeah, right.
I was sound checking my drums, like, you know, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
And I'm like hitting my snare, just like testing, checking the snare. And this girl comes around the corner and she goes, "Excuse me, can you keep it down? We're trying to have a sound bath." And I was like, "I'm trying to sound check." Like, you said take a shower.
You need a real bath.
You need a real bath.
Yeah. Try out one of those real ones.
We were
how about
super
that?
Super hippie central. Yeah. It was like the dingiest part of the whole festival grounds, and they woke up to us playing.
One, but it is it's got some Bonnaroo-esque kind of vibes to it. I can totally understand that. You have the opposite this weekend. You're starting things. You know, in the evening on the Who stage. I mean, we already asked what you think your expectations are, but how are you feeling? I mean, jitters? You're like, I mean, I've done a lot of things that I thought I was good at that I was still scared to shitless to do, right? Yeah. I'm not suggesting that.
Does the set change at all?
It's a pretty standard set. I mean, right now we have an album coming out in about a month. Like, wait, what day is today? A month from yesterday.
July 12th,
our album's coming
right
out. And so we've been trying to test out a lot of our new music and trying to integrate some of our bigger, older songs in there. And so we've kind of solidified this, like, this is the perfect 45-minute set for where we are right now. And so we've done it before. I feel good about it. Honestly, I've been more focused on the campsite.
Prepping for, like,
and once we see the stage, all
part of the reason I ask is because part of the lore, we've been doing this, Brian's been to all of them, I've been to like 18, so part of the allure is fans are here. You mentioned commitment. So you know you've got an audience that wants to be here, and that right away changes a lot of things. But along with that comes an audience that wants to discover and learn, and they appreciate, you know, what you guys put out there. So occasionally a band will, you know, pull out a rarity or something they've wanted to do. That's kind of why I was asking.
That's cool. I think, having it being our first one, I think we're like, we just want it to go really well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like,
yeah, sure.
Definitely. So we're playing, I guess we're like playing our hits in a way. But I think that works as like a new guy on the block. It's like, play your hits. Why not? But you mentioned the commitment that people have here, and like I really have seen that too. I mentioned that I just got to do like one day here last year. And I've been fortunate enough to like go to some other really, a couple other really big festivals and see how they do stuff and like just what the community and the vibe is over there. And there's just something different here. Like people really take care of each other. People really care about the music, you know, the fashion is super cool. And like, that's a big element at other places. And it's definitely a big element here, but like, it really feels like the music is why people are here and the community and just the farm itself.
Yeah, you'll figure out pretty quickly that the fashion goes out the window after about the 2 o'clock in the afternoon the first day, as you'll figure out. how long are you here?
I think we're going to stay for the whole weekend.
No kidding. Yeah. All right, so who you want to see? Who's the...
Fred again.
I'm sorry?
I'm fired up for Fred again on, was it Sunday?
Yeah. Sunday night.
Obviously, that's a commitment there. You got all weekend.
Chapel Row, and I know everyone wants to see her, but...
How exciting that they moved her.
I know.
Y'all have no clue if you haven't been here.
No, I did, yeah.
She was going to be on one of the
tents. We heard.
Chapel,
yeah.
Which
yeah.
is a...
It was the tent, right? This tent? She was at the...
Yeah.
And then they moved her to the...
I was excited to see the crowd that she drew.
Yeah. The secondary stage, it's going to be something to see on Sunday, or at least that's what we're all hoping.
Yeah.
And before that move, there was real concern because she has exploded. And these tents are great, you know, and all these stages are great, but... Sometimes they don't work.
Can I say something about that?
Jump on here, man. No,
I'll just say quick. I saw Noah Kahan last year,
that
was the situation. Like it was you couldn't even really enjoy the show because it was just everybody on the campsite wanted to see it.
I think that was part of their learning experience from last year because then that's exactly what we were concerned. We meaning just the festival in general was worried about. So. That's going to be big time. It's cool you get to hang out for the whole weekend, too. A lot of people got to pop in and out. Yeah. You know?
I'm stoked to see Idols.
Okay.
That's going to be sick. I've never seen them before, but I fucking love their music. There's a bunch. But they're the ones that come to mind the most. Emo Super Jam is going to be sick, even though same time as Cage. Idols is probably my number one.
You guys, who are you going to see?
Cage the Elephant Goth Babe.
Okay, nice.
I'll say I think Parcels, like a late night set, is going to be really, really cool. So I'm really pumped about that as well.
So you guys call Nashville home base then?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
How's it like playing and working in what everybody tells me they call Los Angeles East these days?
Yeah.
I don't know how prevalent that is in the community, but I hear that from my musician friends. How's it like working in Nashville these days?
You want it?
It's
a loaded question. You got it.
We tour a lot. We tour a lot. So we really, Nashville is just like a house for us.
Okay.
It's like we're home.
Yeah.
And it's our storage unit. And it's like our producer's there. We have some other people there who work with us, so that's convenient, but like we don't really get in the
just got. I mean, what I mean by LA East and what I think they mean when they say it's just so big now.
It's
different, It's so huge, and I mean, I know you can say that about everywhere, but it really,
is. Yeah. Like having grown up in Franklin with like my dad working in downtown Nashville and stuff for like as long as I can remember. Nashville's mad different.
We're from
now,
Chattanooga,
feels
so
crazy.
We're just down the road. I'm spend a lot of time in Middle Tennessee. So.
Yeah.
Still love it. You know,
it's still wonderful. It's just that like the expense of it and the traffic of it. And like every little layer of difficulty, it seems like gets heightened. But it's still awesome to be here. I think that's a real testament to Nashville's value is that like no matter how much harder it's gonna get to be here, it's still gonna be a really nice town to live.
No one said it was gonna be easy.
No,
All right,
what do you want to move to Austin?
exactly.
It's just Nashville in the desert.
All right, so we're gonna wrap this up. Thank you guys so much for giving us some time. Best of luck. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Typically, we'll see you. We'll run into each other all the time. So say hi. So
have a great
time.
Show.
Thank y'all.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, see, so there you go. That was fun. I like those guys.
Yeah, I mean, you just said it before we went into it. I mean, it's so much fun to talk to guys and gals, whether they know what they're getting themselves into or not. I mean, say she knew exactly, and we're geared and ready. And these guys and girls, they just couldn't wait to play a great show.
Yeah,
remember they didn't really care where it was.
You remember us? They reminded me of Preston Maroney, that interview with him.
Yeah, very
remember
much.
How
yeah.
happy his dad was on the farm, and yeah. They reminded me a lot of him for some reason. And fortunately, I hit record this time.
Good job.
You haven't had one of those terrible mishaps in quite some time.
You two guys are...
Taco, did you hit record on this show? Because I ain't doing that again. Actually, I will. You want to do it again?
No, please keep doing
let's
it.
Let's start over. Yeah.
It makes me mad when you guys do it. Did you hit record? I'm like, yes. But please keep doing it, because I don't always.
It's like, right, hey, did you remember your wallet? You got your ID?
ID. Right.
I never don't have my wallet or ID. Yes.
Exactly.
Mom, I got a jacket, too. But you're right. You're right.
All right. Glad you had a great time, both of you.
Thanks for listening to that, guys. I mean, I know that's not what we normally do.
I'm interested in it.
Cool, it was such a pleasure. I cannot tell you how. It was not just a fun time in Vegas. You know, I don't want it to get lost in that world either. Like, oh, cool, of course you had fun. It was Vegas. Nah, shut up. None of that. This thing could have been in, you know, Nicaragua. I don't wherever.
Right,
it did.
Right.
It is amazing. So thank you for listening to that. Thank you for listening to the show. I appreciate it.
Well, and I need phone numbers from all of your friends, because you guys are hanging out with better people than I am, apparently.
I don't know. I might have tapped that well dry, man.
Yeah, what'd all you right, do, Barry? What'd you do this weekend, Barry?
I babysat a 7-year-old granddaughter. We had a blast.
Well, you know,
a little different world, but we had a great time.
And genuinely, you love that.
Oh yeah. So, absolutely. It was a blast.
To me, it sounds like a freaking nightmare, but hey, what are you going to do? You know?
We had a blast. All right, guys. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Like, share, subscribe, do all that stuff. We'll be back next week with more.
Oh, yeah. See you later.
Yep.